You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Beautiful day here in Wisconsin. A little fog earlier. I don't know how talking about the weather became part of my daily routine here when I open the show, but I guess it does affect mood and, that's all right. I don't like do a 5-day forecast or anything. I'm not that bold. But it's interesting. I think I mentioned the weather because this is a very special night. As you know, Conrad, we are going to dip our toes into the weather topic tonight with our pal Brittany Merlot. She's going to be here.
I'm excited to hear that it's not snowing anymore. You know, but I heard that it's going to get a little colder on this weekend, but other than that,
but you
no
know
snow.
You know Brittany does not control that, right?
Well, she knows a lot about it.
You think she's got...
So she can confirm my feelings, you know?
She is. And she's here, and the award-winning Brittany Merlot, I might add, she cleaned house at the Wisconsin Broadcasting Awards a week and a half ago, maybe. But I'm always excited. I am fascinated by weather. So we'll talk about that with Brittany tonight at 7:35. She will be here. Before that, Chris Foran will be here at 6:35. Chris and I are going to recap the... we talked with Matt Miller recently about the Milwaukee Film Festival, but we didn't really go into the awards. So Chris is aware of who won awards, and he had interesting information about the attendance of this really cool film festival, and we'll talk about what's opening this weekend and what we're watching. It'll be a lot of fun and a perfect chance for you to weigh in and share what you're watching and what you think about what we're saying. And this is great because I will say this. Chris Foran, Brittany Merlot, you could probably find two richer people, two taller people, a couple people that drive nicer cars, but this is National Decency Day, Conrad, and I guarantee you will not find two more decent people than Chris Foran and Brittany Merlot.
That is correct.
I cannot stress that.
That is correct.
So kudos to you for being here tonight, folks. Fun guests, and got a nice question. We'll let you guys weigh in on that. That'll be exciting. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always call if you're feeling down. We'll cheer you up. I hope we cheer you up anyway, because, you know, it's a Wednesday. You might be limping to the weekend. Personally, I've discussed this before on the show. I like the week. Like having a place to go and a reason to get out of bed in the morning, although I do other work on the weekends for other various pursuits of mine, but this is the most fun. Talking on the radio about the things we love, movies, TV, comedy, music, all the great stuff, the culture, the arts, and what is going on in Wisconsin. And we are coming up to summer festival season. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that with Chris as well. This is a big day in show business. Conan the Barbarian opened on this day in 1982. You ever seen that movie, Con?
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I've seen it.
It's a doozy.
But I feel like I've seen the title. You know what I mean?
You know what? It was a milestone because it made people worldwide take notice of the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a good actor. That was his first movie role. And that he just played a strong guy. I mean, it was fine. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's fine. He's fun in movies. But a lot of cool stuff. We have to talk about this. First of all, I want to give a shout out to our pal, Eric Jelland, is in the hospital recovering from some type of brain surgery, I think. And he's okay, but I had no idea. I saw this on Facebook yesterday and just got sidetracked last night. But get well soon, Eric. We hope you're... It sounds like he's going to be okay. He's hoping to tour again soon. But anytime you have surgery in that area, it's major stuff. So hope you're doing well, buddy, and get well soon. And let's move on to another topic, not nearly as pressing as Eric's health, but the story you shared A woman asked AI, ChatGPT, to analyze the coffee grounds in her cup that she made for her and her husband. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you know, it's... I had to read it a couple times and be like, did I actually read this right? That's what she asked the AI to do that to the coffee grounds, and what happened there?
AI said her husband's cheating on her based on I had to read it like three times because it's so crazy.
Yeah, it's like, how? Okay, AI says that. Why? What clicks in your head going, you know what? He probably is.
He probably is. But that makes no difference. Now, how can ChatGPT know that based on coffee grounds?
I have no idea.
And not only that, the guy said that, or somebody said that ChatGPT also said he's flirting with a woman whose name begins with E. And this, they surmised this from coffee grounds, not they, AI, ChatGPT. So the woman is filing for divorce. Probably started a torrid affair with AI.
You know, I feel like he dodged a bullet.
I think so. I think AI did him a favor because he said this is not the first time this happened. She listened to an astrologist before the last time who said her husband is probably cheating. This guy is either a prince of a guy or a scoundrel or she's crazy.
I just had to think about the conversation that had to be had like with that. Like, honey, are you cheating on me? Because this AI says that.
How do you explain these coffee grounds, honey?
And he's probably, what if he's just the nicest guy, just does nothing wrong, does everything. It's just, yeah.
Maybe she just wants out and she's playing the crazy card. It's like the old Steve Martin joke. Whenever I have to walk through a bad neighborhood, he goes, I've realized muggers will not rob you if they think you're crazy. So the first thing I do before I walk down a block in a city street in a dangerous neighborhood, I wet my pants. So maybe she's playing the crazy card. I don't know. It sounds like they both need a change.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's time to move on.
Absolutely. More stuff in the news. I thought this Morgan Wallen thing, when he left Saturday Night Live, like he hugged Mikey Madison and then he didn't stick around for credits. And, you know, they do that mingle thing at the end of the show. It's just kind of customary. It's tradition. Well, he left early, right in the middle of the cameras were still rolling. Yeah. He walked right toward the camera and just took off. Kind of rude. I'd say it was ignorant and he didn't know, but that was his second time hosting the show. So then he posted a picture from him. He's on his private jet and he says, get me back to God's country. So, you know, just in reading about it, I think he's probably just trying to sell merch and be a tool on purpose to kind of get the word out there. Like, but it's sort of divisive. It's saying, oh, we hate New York City. This is where God, you know, all the money is made in New York City. So God kind of likes New York City too. And he couldn't stick it out for 45 more seconds.
You just need to get back.
Toughen up, Buttercup. Give me a break.
You know, so that led to the Sunday conversations with Caleb Presley, which I watched. I think that's where I saw this.
Yeah.
I think Caleb Presley's hilarious. But he said, they asked him, you know, why'd you leave? And he's like, I was there for like 10 or a week or something.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get back. I was like, what?
45 seconds. He couldn't stick around another 45 seconds. It was obviously strategic and planned. And he wanted to make some waves.
I thought it was funny that did you listen to the whole interview?
I just read it.
They had a conversation about his parole officer.
Yeah, he's not a prince.
No.
But he doesn't sound like a terrible guy, but like he's obviously trying to drive a wedge here into that whole rural urban kind of thing. To me it's a little bit political what he did.
So something funny about Sunday conversations, they always the other guy who doesn't talk, he's just sitting there eating ice cream.
Okay.
His name is Glennie Balls.
Of course it is.
Do you remember the Indiana head coach that chucked a chair?
Yeah, Bobby Knight, yeah.
He dressed up as him during that interview.
Because Morgan Wallen threw a chair off a roof in Nashville and could have killed someone?
It was like you needed to get that deep cut to get that joke.
That's funny. I just think it was lame.
Stick it out. You don't see anyone else doing that. I bet everyone else is, they've done that too. They've been there for a week.
And they asked him to come back. It was rude, and it was like, you know, there's so many battles you could pick in life. That's a weird one. I think it's time we get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Folks, in honor of Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist Brittany Merlot's appearance on Nightlight tonight, the question of the night is, what is your perfect weather day? Give me the perfect temperature, season, precipitation, humidity, whatever you want, and share with me your perfect weather day. It's interesting because I immediately went summer and I went 75 and I basically went Los Angeles weather, 75 and sunny and no humidity. But then I saw Todd Michaels. He said 60s early fall.
Yeah.
That's pretty good too.
That's a great time. And it's lowering. So it always reminds me of just like, winter's coming. But
I can't have them on right now.
What?
Will you do me a favor? Go to the door and get some information from them. There's some kind of roller derby team. I think that would really, really be fun. But I can't have them on right now. Conrad is earning. He's going the extra mile, folks. He's about to talk to about 9 enthusiastic roller derby people. So maybe we could talk about some roller derby on Nightlight. I think that could be fun. But I want to say 75. And no humidity, summer day. But I could also be talked into fall. And here's why. Because fall is, there's no bugs. And I love that. So I'm going to get back to you with my pick. But I love what Todd said. 60s early fall. What about you, Con?
You know, my favorite is spring. Not this spring, because the spring sucked.
Yeah, it really does.
But I love when you finally get that. The first day of nice weather, and it's a little bit windy still, but it's warm enough to wear shorts and a t-shirt. And you go outside and you're just like, summer's around the
corner. It's coming. Yeah. I don't mind that, except like right now, like again, today I get into my car to come down to Green Bay. I bet there were 200 mayflies in my car and the door was open for 4 seconds. So that's why I don't like spring. I like fall and the crispness, especially in Midwest fall. So I'm going to say, but I'm going to stick with sunshine. 75, sunny, no humidity. That's my perfect day.
All right.
So we'll do that. And we've got a couple other here. Oh, we got some good ones on the social media too. So let us know, folks, what is your perfect weather day? Brittany Merlot is here tonight. So we are celebrating weather. I'm going to ask her about the Farmer's Almanac too, because I've always been kind of in awe of the Farmer's Almanac. And I don't know exactly what it is either. So maybe she can clear that up for us. Lots of fun stuff. Chris Foran coming up at 6:35. We're going to talk about where you can see outdoor movies this summer in Milwaukee. Chris wrote a cool article about that. Take a trip down memory lane to when they built the freeway in Milwaukee too. That was kind of a cool thing. He did a great article on that. We'll talk about movies and TV. Brittany Merlot at 7:35. Your texts in between, fun stories, some comedy clips. We're doing it all tonight here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I read your texts next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. We're doing it Wednesday style, folks. Great to have you with me. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Conrad Krieger riding shotgun. I am your host for this evening's broadcast, Pete Schwaba. Our question of the night is, what is your perfect weather day? Brittany Merlot is here tonight. I have weather questions, as I often do, and she is always nice enough to be patient with me and come on the show and answer them. So Chris Foran coming up at 6:35. We'll talk about some cool stuff going on in Milwaukee. Outdoor movies. We'll talk about what's opening this weekend, what we're watching, and about the first freeway being built in Milwaukee in 1952. Chris did a really cool article on that, so I'm going to ask him about that as well. So we got some texts on the on our social media sites in regard to our question. I can't read Amanda's. What does this say? It's a meme. The question is, what is your perfect weather day? And she sent in a meme that said, I'd have to say April 25th because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a flight jacket. It's got to be from a movie, right? It's got to be. But I don't know.
I don't know what movie that is either.
I like the quote, even without context. Monica Hale says, crisp autumn day, about 40 degrees. Ooh, that's too cold, Monica. Sorry. I didn't mean to denigrate a texture. I immediately got a chill when I read that. Crisp autumn day, about 40 degrees, with the sound of wind rustling the trees. You know what? I like it when it's about 50 to 55, and I can still leave the window open and hear some wind. But, man, 40 is pushing it a little bit for me personally. But thank you, Monica. That's a great answer. Layman Bob says, being outside and mowing lawns. That's his perfect weather day. Sounds like he'll do that no matter what, though. That's kind of cool. All right. Thank you, Layman Bob. Awesome. We got a text overnight at 4 a.m. Bud from Janesville likes to text us at that hour because he listens while he's out delivering papers. He's in the 608. He says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I got a chuckle when you said to keep it clean since this is a family show. You started the show explaining you wash your sheets a lot because you and your wife have a lot of sex. I like your thought process about laundry. Thank you, bud. Anyway, sometimes my sense of humor is too cryptic in that I don't provide enough clues to figure out my punchlines, or maybe they're just not that funny. If you remember, I like to think my humor is slightly cerebral and that the punchline is not readily apparent. I do remember that, bud. I like jokes that leave a person with a puzzled look that eventually turn into a chuckle after they figure out my punchline. I know that if I have to explain a punchline, it loses its effect. Oh, well, that's how I roll. He says, my favorite genre of music is chill radio on Pandora. It's primarily instrumental, like Jesse Cook, for example. After listening to all the political talk shows on Civic Media, I need to chill out. Yeah, I think we all do, bud. That's why we're here. And thanks for the text. He continues, though, saying, Would you please provide me your snail mail mailing address? I've got some things I think you and Conrad will find entertaining and possibly an idea for a segment on your show. Love your show, Bud from Janesville. Whew, so what address do we give it? You always have to assume it's going to be a fertilizer bomb.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I think Bud could be playing the long game here, like he likes the show. But he's doing a Unabomber thing. I'm just kidding. We'll give you the station address. Absolutely, bud. Thank you for listening and thanks for the text. Please keep listening. Please keep texting. And he's taking my advice because here's another text from Bud. He says, Pete Schwabba, a guy who comes to a complete stop at every stop sign. Pete Schwabba, a guy who treats every stop sign as a suggestion. Love your show, bud, from Janesville. P.S. The papers are going to be late this morning. Oops. Probably late because that first text took about 12 minutes to read and probably about 30 minutes to comprise. I'm teasing, bud. Thank you, buddy. Cam from Appleton. I can't read this, Conrad. What is this?
So
it's a meme.
So
HBO Max.
Well, it says that HBO.
Oh yeah.
You know, now that it's just Max, is changing its name back to HBO
Max.
Which
is what it was, right?
Which, yeah. And you can ask the AI on there how many times they've changed it. You know, the Twitter AI.
Okay.
And they've changed it twice since 2020, from HBO Max to Max, and now back to HBO Max in 25.
What is the dizzle, man? What are they going for there?
They just, HBO's like, nope, we need our name in it again.
Why? To me, that's like, you know, when they went from HBO to Max, they took the part of the name that's like the less popular. Like, that's where all the skin flicks were. The Skinamax movies were on Cinemax. Nobody cared about Cinemax.
Yeah.
So you take HBO off and you just call it Max. That made no sense to me. That's like taking Coke out of Coca-Cola or Coca, I don't know, something like, you know what
well,
I'm saying.
Well, now they're going back to HBO Max.
Well, it's about time. Maybe I'll start watching again. It's like taking Schwabba away from Pete. Very similar.
The
Conrad.
Schwabba.
You laugh, but I'm just saying. Sherry from Oregon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Tom from New Berlin says 65 on the beach, a cool buzz and tasty waves. Little Spicoli.
Yeah, there we go.
I love that. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad checking in. Perfect weather day in Wisconsin. That's a disclaimer, Steve. He says is during the fall weather in the middle 50s with no mosquitoes. Boy, it's hard to argue with that. In Florida, the Keys, always in the 80s and 90s, where you get the breeze from the Gulf and Atlantic to make you feel cool. That's pretty good, too. Sounds like your folks missed the Keys a little bit.
Well, you know, he's talking about the mosquitoes, but he'd always say, you know, I think the no-see-ums are worse.
What are those?
They're little bugs that you can't see, and they, like, bite you or something. Yeah. And he'd always say, I think they might be worse.
I always remember when I would work, there was a comedy club in West Palm Beach that I would do there and then Tampa. And West Palm Beach had the palmetto bugs, and they were flying mosquitoes, but they're huge.
Flying mosquitoes?
Palmetto bugs. I think, was it flying mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes can fly no matter what.
They're not mosquitoes. And what? All right, I'm going to Google this. We got to get to the bottom of this, or I have to get to the bottom of this. Chris Warren coming up after Civic Media's news team tells you what's up. And we've got some fun stuff to talk about with Chris. We'll read some more of your texts. And then Brittany Merlot, ladies and gentlemen, at 7:35. What else are you going to do on a Wednesday? We're crushing it already, and we're only a fourth of the way into the show. See that? I know math. It's Peach Wabba, and it's the Civic Media Radio Network, and you've got Nightlight.
Love me, take it into town.
You got Nightlight on a Wednesday, folks. I'm Pete Schwabba, Conrad Krieger riding shotgun. We're talking about all of the wonderful things in and around our state and show business and comedy and all kinds of fun stuff tonight. A palmetto bug is a flying roach.
Okay.
Worse than a mosquito in many ways, but I don't know why I got that confused, but they're really gross. I'm sure your folks know what they are.
They've
got to have them in the Keys.
The word roach creeps me out.
Yeah. I don't like flying either, but that's a different story. Todd Michaels also on the stream said that Amanda Nimmer's meme is from Miss Congeniality.
I have never seen that, actually.
I saw it years ago. It's a fun movie. I like Sandy Bullock. Brittany Merlot will be here at 7:35. We're going to talk about the weather. Folks, people say do not ever talk about the weather or movies. We are throwing caution to the wind tonight here at Nightlight, and we're going to talk about both. How do you like that? And if we have time, maybe some religion and politics. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight one of our pals here who comes by quite frequently, and we have great discussions, spirited debates about movies and TV and all kinds of fun stuff, typically involving Milwaukee. He writes entertainment stories for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel very well. His name is Chris Foran, and he joins us now over the stream. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
You're such a mellow guy. I feel like I build you up too much, and I'm like singing
you know,
your praises.
It mellow, spent. It's hard to know. It's a fine line.
I love how chill you are, but I always catch myself doing that. It's like, geez, Schwabba, get out a hat and cane and do a tap dance to bring Chris onto the show. That's not fair to you.
No, it's not. I appreciate the laudatory comment.
How's it going tonight, buddy? How you doing?
Good. Good. Yeah. Just listening to some of the or reviewing some of the shows from the last couple of weeks, realize how many more movies I have to catch up with. But there's too many to watch.
Well, it sounds like you're doing okay. We'll definitely do some movie talk. You've seen more than me, or you're at least more caught up than I am. But let's talk first about the Milwaukee Film Festival, because that just ended last week. It sounds like it was a huge success. And I didn't realize, I knew that they had fewer films this year. But what you were saying is they have fewer films but the same amount of people, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, this year they decided to cut back a little. They've had a couple of years of pretty rough financial sledding, and for all sorts of reasons. And so this year the last bunch of years they've been in four theaters in the Milwaukee area. the two historic ones on the east side, the Downer and the Oriental, both religious institutions for some of us, and then the Times on the west side and the Avalon Theater, which is also like from 1929 in Bayview. This year they just stuck with the two on the east side, which the people who run the Milwaukee Film Festival also operate the theaters, so they were able to have more control over the screenings. But because they had fewer theaters, they had fewer screening time slots. They had something like 30% fewer movies at the festival this year. But they announced their attendance for the festival today, and it was something like only like 200 below last year. And considering how many more fewer screenings they had, it was, if you do the math, which some of us had to, it's around 47% higher per screening attendance. And that's what I had heard and what I had seen during the festival. There were a number of screenings that sold out, which is not unheard of, but there seemed to be a lot of them. And every screening I was at was fairly close to packed, whatever time of day it was.
Really impressive, too, given the size of the venues that they were selling out, especially like the Oriental. But what do they attribute that to, Chris? I mean, it's a long festival. It's two full weeks. They have multiple screenings. But I would think the multiple screenings, that's not unheard of, but it's amazing that like some shows I know they played three times and they're still getting those attendance numbers.
And that's not unheard of. They've done that before, but in other words, they do that with more movies this year. They toss out the idea that because they were it was more compact, people could actually they could make it easier to get to more than one screening a day. And if you're going to a movie on the east side and then going to Bayview, that's a 20-minute drive or 20 minutes to go to the west side versus a 10-minute walk, for example. And I went to a movie. I met some friends who had taken the day off and had gone to movies at the Oriental, and I met them at the Downer, and they parked halfway between. Yeah, it's cool. Nice. I mean, and I may have said this on your show before, the Milwaukee Film Festival has done a really good job of making the festival a destination, almost excluding the movies. I think people go to the festival to go to the festival. They always show good movies, but I think people like to be part of that festival experience. They hang out for the Q&As. They love it when there's a filmmaker there. Almost, it doesn't really matter what they're showing. I've seen that happen in almost every kind of movie I've been to. And so I think that's part of it. I think it just made it possible. I don't know if you know a lot about film festival audiences, but they tend to be a little older. They tend to be over 40 or 50, usually over 50, which means they have more flexible schedules often. So they're able to do more of this. And I think a lot of it's kind of like, I don't know if you were younger, if you went to Summerfest, like you went like multiple days. Film festival's kind of like that. I mean, people really like just to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I do remember Summerfest. I was at the comedy tent every year.
Oh boy.
Barely wearing I wore clothes, but it was very hot, Chris. And you
very hot. I remember. I did you get combat pay for that? Because the comedy tent was tough. Those were tough crowds, I remember.
It's not a great most people were in there to get out of the sun. Yeah. And it's just like they're barely listening. You could have a good show, but most of the time it was just you just kind of did it to go to Summerfest.
I remember a lot of heckling.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of disinterest.
That too.
So that's pretty impressive. A 47% increase per screening, mentioned in your article. And I agree, like film festival attendees are a little older, but they also know more about what they want. I think they crave those films.
Yeah.
Like I just did an article for Civic Media where there's kind of this pocket, and I'm in this. I live in a smaller town. We don't have an independent film theater. It's a megaplex, so to speak. And if you want to see not Sinners, but like, let's say Challengers, you got a week to do it or, an A24 movie. That's really cool. Like they're still making these movies. But you really have to seek them out. And if you don't live in Milwaukee or Madison or a city with a cool indie theater, you just really got to do your homework. And film festivals are a perfect place to see those kind of movies.
Right. You're totally right. Having said that, the movies that sold that were really popular at the festival were movies that I would think of are fairly safe or traditional. That was a really popular movie. I think one of the movies that sold out the minute they started selling tickets was a movie called Four Mothers about a comedian or a writer, I can't remember which, who ended up getting saddled with his older mother and three of her friends when they're when the other friends went off on some trip, and he had like the gig of a lifetime. And the movies with older characters always seem to do very well there. I saw one of the movies I saw that I enjoyed was a movie called Memory Lane about an elderly Dutch couple who the wife is starting to have dementia challenges, so they decide to go on a driving trip to Spain to help jog some of her memories. And it had really good attendance, and but it right in the wheelhouse. I have heard correspondingly, I have heard that movies that are really kind of wacky in terms of structure or style don't always go over as well.
Interesting. Huh?
Although I know Matt Miller was talking about that Vulcanizadora, I think it's, I can't remember how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Crazy Michigan movie. I wish I had seen that. That sounded awesome. And that there are audiences for that too. It's just the ones that seem to be, the audience still wants to have a good time. And I think a lot of people these days are kind of looking for a break. I know when I was trying to pick, I have a time window. I'm going to go see something. And I had two choices, and I ended up going to see a quirky animated movie that was kind of silly, kind of all over the place, because I wasn't ready for the heavy issue movie that it was running against. So,
yeah. My guest is Chris Foran. He writes entertainment articles for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us here on Nightlight from time to time, and we talk movies and TV and all kinds of fun stuff. Chris, Matt was on the other night, and I forgot to ask him, but I'm glad you're here. And you mentioned in one of your articles about the awards. What were the, if you could name two or three films that came out of the Milwaukee Film Festival that people should watch or that won awards, what would they be?
The one that won the big audience award that they announced today was The Librarians, and it's a documentary about, spoiler, librarians. And I hate to say usual, but this is a topic that's been told a number of times about how librarians are kind of the first line of defense on the First Amendment and things like that. I can't believe that won't either be on public television or in theaters in some form. And I think Matt may have mentioned this in the closing night movie, which was Jane Austen Wreck My Life, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That I know is coming to Milwaukee theaters and probably Madison. In another week or two. But a lot of it, you're right saying there, a lot of it is hit and miss. I mean, A24 movies almost always end up on streaming on, I guess they're now calling it HBO Max again. A24 movies end up there. I finally caught up with Sing Sing, which is a remarkable movie. They just added, I think, The Brutalist, or they're adding it Friday. Actually, so okay. I can see what you suffered through finally.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I could be way off. I'm just a fan, but I don't know.
I rewatched the first part of the Mission Impossible thing because the new one's coming out.
Yeah,
and you know, I've liked most of the movies a lot, and I'm in a minority. I'm not a Tom Cruise hater. I think he sets out to do something and he does it. You know, and I enjoyed it. It was Dead Reckoning Part One. Now, even though the second one is now called Final Reckoning, I liked it, but it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and it moves faster than that. It doesn't feel slow, but it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. Just the logistics of it, you know. And if you're going to a theater, you've got to, you know, stock up on provisions and, you know,
supplies.
You know, there are websites that will tell you when you can go take a bathroom break. Those are sometimes worth consulting.
I didn't know that. I never heard of that. That's great.
The best one is one called runpee.com. one of the things I look for is whether I need to stay for the credits. I love watching credits, but sometimes I got to go somewhere. And like, I went to see the Thunderbolts movie this weekend, and it's Marvel, so I knew there'd be something at the end. But apparently, as I've heard in your talks and others, that I haven't seen Sinners is still, that's the next one that's on my list. And Sinners is a movie that you also have to stay for the credits.
You absolutely have to stay for the credits. And I'm glad you know that, because this poor couple, if you heard me talking about it, they left, and I'm like, I was going to my car with my wife, and I'm like, they missed like the closure.
I mean, I get it, but you know, it's it was interesting when I saw Thunderbolts the other day. It was like third weekend or second weekend. And nobody left. They know better.
Yeah.
You know, they knew, because it's a Marvel movie, you know.
Right. And, yeah. Part of that, and, I, and, I, put on the filmmaker. I'm like, don't do, if something is that essential to your film, put it where people can see it, you know, because a lot of people leave during the credits.
Yeah, what they do in Marvel, and I think they do a really good job with it, I think they got done to a science, is the one in the middle credits is just some goofy thing.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the first Avengers movie, in the middle of the credits, they're all eating shawarma, you know, and and then the one at the end of it is advances the overarching Marvel saga. And in fact, the one that's in the end of very end of Thunderbolts makes me feel a little better. I don't want to spoil it for too much, but it makes me feel a little better about the Fantastic Four movie that's coming out this summer.
My guest is Chris Warren. We'll have more with Chris after this very short break, and we're going to tell you where you can check out outdoor movies in Milwaukee. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me this evening. In this beautiful night in the state of Wisconsin, as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Keep those texts coming. We'll catch up soon, folks. What is your perfect weather day? Some answers all over the place, and somebody just texted about a blizzard. I have half a mind not to read that, but I will. Our guest right now is Chris Foran. He writes entertainment, brilliant entertainment articles. Chris, I'm going to build you up again here for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he
so much pressure to live up to this. I don't know.
No, you just do your thing, though. You're just like so chill. I love it. Hey, where can you wrote an article about outdoor movie theaters? And again, I don't even think to do that in the summer anymore. But is that still a thing in Milwaukee? Going to the drive-in?
Well, there's two separate things. There's one is and the two separate stories. One is a roundup that one of the story that went up this week was on the free outdoor movies that communities show. Usually, they're kid movies. There used to be a lot more than there are, but there's still a number of them, you know, whether they show them in a local park, lots of Disney, lots of Moana 2, you know, things like that. Right. Then the other one are drive-in, you and I think of traditional outdoor drive-in theaters. And there are still some, we lost two over the winter this year, right, in Wisconsin, the Highway 18, the gentleman who ran it for many years, the last couple of years, at the end of the season, he'd put a for sale sign on it, and then if spring would come, he'd take it down and run the theater. But he retired after last year. The Highway 18 is in Jefferson County, and that's still for sale if anybody wants it. And then there's also one in Chilton.
Oh yeah,
that the local theater operator has been leasing, and they just decided to step back, and because they run the theater, I think, in Chilton and in De Pere, and that's enough these days.
Yeah.
But there's still eight others. The Milwaukee has the one in Southeast Wisconsin is known as the Milky Way Drive-In, and it was opened during the pandemic in the parking lot at the independent minor league baseball stadium in Franklin on the southwest part of Milwaukee area. And they basically, when the Milwaukee Milkmen aren't in town, they put up a screen, and they have one of these nice LED screens, so they don't have to wait till it gets dark. And it's been a thing. This is their sixth season, so, you know, more power to them.
Yeah.
But there are still a few others. There's, you know, the Stardust in Chetek outside Minneapolis, and then and I think that opens in late May, and then Field of Scenes, one of my favorite outdoor driving theater name, in Freedom, and that one opens also in late May. It's either like around Labor Day or Memorial Day, rather, or the first weekend in May. And a lot of the Skyway Drive-In in Fish Creek opened this, I think, May 2nd. I think they opened for the Thunderbolts.
And that's a nice one,
And the Big Sky in the Dells is already open, and so is what's the one in Monroe, the Skyview. That is also open. As is the one in Richland Center, the Starlight 14.
Do we like watching movies in our car? I know it's a novelty.
That's a good question. I think it's like a lot of things. I think people do it for the, you know, for the something different.
I
think they do it. You know, they if you see whenever we, you know, every couple of years somebody does a story about, oh, drive-ins are dead, you know, and
or
the other side, drive-ins are back, you know, the same story. Really.
I mean,
I wrote it one in 1983, so I mean it's, you know, the same thing, but I think some people it's just a different way to do stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like going to an axe throwing bar, you know. It's not, you're not just going out for a drink, you're doing something different.
Yeah, and less of a chance of a serious injury going to a drive-through, ideally. But
you hope.
I know why kids go. I can't ever see myself at my age just going to a drive. I want a more optimal theater experience. Yeah. I think, you know. But
well, and what I wonder too is about. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, the cars didn't have headrests and things like that. I just don't understand the logistics.
Right.
In the backseat, I'll be able to see it.
Chris Foran is my guest. You can follow him at C Foran, Foran12. I thought you had left Twitter, Chris, or I would have tagged you for some reason, but I just pulled it up and here you are.
I haven't left it. I don't post a lot of stuff on there. Not a political statement. It's more of an, I am wary of the bots eventually recreating me in some digital form,
especially after
watching Black Mirror. I'm afraid of being recreated and then replaced by myself.
Can we keep you through the news? We got a couple minutes left, but I would love to talk about what's opening with you and all that kind of stuff. But you mentioned Black Mirror. That's a show I have never watched, and I've heard really good stuff about it. I don't know why I can't get into it or why I haven't started it. You're a fan though, right?
I'm a fan, but it would be in the pile of things I'll say it's not for everyone.
Okay.
They are alarming. It's an alarmingly prescient show. It predicted the early seasons predicted many things that actually happened. And it is, this season isn't as angry as some of the last couple seasons had been, but it is very sad.
Huh.
And it's not for everyone. It's extraordinarily well written, and the acting cast is phenomenal.
What did you think of Adolescence? Did we talk about that last time you were here?
I don't think so. Okay. I that's another one I'm not sure I can recommend, only because it's so much.
It's
so well done, and I don't want to say it's a trend, because I'm drifting to this kind of stuff, but it is very well acted. It is very honest. It is also not cut and dry, which is, it kind of makes you make your own decisions, which is not that you're in favor of, you know, murder or whatever, but it gives you the context and you kind of take it from there. And it is also a British production, which means they end when they should end rather than keep going.
Yes. Four episodes. It was great. And like you said about Black Mirror, it was just sad. It's hard to watch, but it's a great watch. It's one of those things I categorize, like, I'm glad I watched it, but I'm never going to rewatch it. Chris Foran is here. He's going to stick around through intermission, and we will come back after the news and talk about what's opening this weekend and what he has seen. He's the guy you want to talk to, folks. He writes for the Journal Sentinel about movies and TV. We're coming back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.